John Bunyan's barren fig tree and the cutting down of the fruitless professor. So far we have treated of the barren fig tree, or fruitless professor, with some signs to know him by, whereto is added also some signs of one who neither will nor can by any means be fruitful, but they must miserably perish. Now being come to the time of execution, I shall speak a word to that also. After that, you shall cut it down. Proposition number 2. The death or cutting down of such men will be dreadful. Christ at last turns the barren fig tree over to the justice of God, shakes his hands of him, and gives him up to the fire for his unprofitableness. After that, you shall cut it down. Two things are here to be considered. First, the executioner. You, the great, the dreadful, the eternal God. These words, therefore, as I have already said, signify that Christ, the mediator, through whom alone salvation comes, and by whom alone execution has been deferred, now gives up the soul, forbears to speak one syllable more for him, or to do the least act of grace further, to try for his recovery, but delivers him up to that fearful dispensation, to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10, verse 31. Second, the second thing to be considered, the instrument by which this execution is done, and that is death, compared here to an axe. And forasmuch as the tree is not felled at one blow, therefore the strokes are here continued until the blows be struck at it that are requisite for its felling. For now cutting time and cutting work has come. Cutting must be his portion until he be cut down. After that, you shall cut it down. Death, I say, is the axe which God often uses by this to take the barren fig tree out of the vineyard, out of a profession, and also out of the world at once. But this axe is now new ground. It comes well edged to the roots of this barren fig tree. It has been wetted by sin, by the law, and by a formal profession, and therefore must and will make deep gashes, not only in the natural life, but in the heart and conscience also of this professor. The wages of sin is death. The sting of death is sin. Romans 6, verse 23. Therefore death comes not to this man as he does to saints, muzzled or without his sting, but with an open mouth in all his strength. Yea, he sends his firstborn, which is guilt, to devour his strength, and to bring him to the king of terrors, Job 18, verses 13 and 14. But to give you in a few particulars the manner of this man's dying. Now he has his fruitless fruits beleaguer him round his bed, together with all the bands and legions of his other wickedness. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Proverbs 5, verse 22. Number 2, now some terrible discovery of God is made out to him, to the perplexing and terrifying of his guilty conscience. God shall cast upon him and not spare, and he shall be afraid of that which is high. Job 27:22. The dark entry he is to go through will be a sore amazement to him, for fear shall be in the way, Ecclesiastes 12:5. Yea, terrors will take hold on him, when he shall see the yawning jaws of death to gape upon him, and the doors of the shadow of death open to give him passage out of the world. Now, who will meet me in this dark entry? How shall I pass through this dark entry into another world? For by reason of guilt and a shaken conscience, his life will hang in continual doubt before him, and he shall be afraid day and night, and shall have no assurance of his life. Deuteronomy 28, verses 66 and 67. Number 5. Now also want will come up against him. He will come up like an armed man. This is a terrible army to him that is graceless in heart and fruitless in life. This want will continually cry in your ears. Here is a new birth wanting, a new heart and a new spirit wanting. Here is faith wanting. Here is love and repentance wanting. Here is a fear of God wanting, in a good conversation wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Daniel 5:27. Together with these stands by the companions of death, hell, evils, endless torment, and the everlasting flames of devouring fire. When God comes to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk 3:16. But how will this man die? Can his heart now endure? Can his hands be strong? Ezekiel 22:14. God and Christ in pity have left him. Sin against light, against mercy, and the long-suffering of God has come up against him. His hope and confidence now lie a-dying by him, and his conscience totters and shakes continually within him. Death has set his work, cutting of him down, hewing both bark and heart, both body and soul asunder. The man groans, but death doesn't hear him. He looks ghastly, carefully, dejectedly. He sighs, he sweats, he trembles, but death matters nothing. Fearful cogitations haunt him. Misgivings, direful apprehensions of God terrify him. Now he has time to think what the loss of heaven will be and what the torments of hell will be. Now he looks no way, but he is affrighted. Now would he live, but he may not. He would live, though it were but the life of a bedridden man, but he must not. He that cuts him down sways him as a feller of wood sways a tottering tree. Now this way, then that way. At last a root breaks, a heartstring, an eye string sweeps asunder. And now could the soul be annihilated, or could be brought to nothing, how happy would it count itself, but it sees that it may not be. Whether it is put to a wonderful strait, stay in the body it may not, go out of the body it dares not. Life is going, the blood settles in the flesh, and the lungs being more able to draw breath through the nostrils, at last out goes a weary trembling soul, which is immediately seized by devils, who lay lurking in every hole in the chamber for that very purpose. His friends take care of the body, wrap it up in the sheet or coffin, but the soul is out of their thought and reach, going down to the chambers of death.